And good morning, Nashville. Welcome into week two of the Game Blitz. I'm Jake Wallman, joined by Parker Kelly behind the glass, making us sound good as we recap week two across the mid-state. Parker, good morning.
Good morning, Jake. What a beautiful Saturday morning. We got college football back today. Week two of high school football. It is truly a beautiful day.
It's truly a beautiful day. Just as beautiful as last Saturday. High school football through the weekend. College football through Monday. I think that this is personally one of the best weekends of the year outside of probably the first weekend of March Madness. And we'll get into a scoreboard as we look around the mid-state. You know, we'll start out on Thursday. Thompson, Alabama came to Lipscomb Academy and topped the Mustangs 27-21. Marshall County topped Shelbyville Central on Thursday night 47-35. Before we get into the Friday games, Parker, did you have a game that stood out to you last night?
I did. So my game of the week was CPA and Pearl Cone. CPA, the number two ranked team in the state of Tennessee, taking on number 10 Pearl Cone. And CPA beats Pearl Cone 21-15. And Jake, I was at the CPA game last week. They hosted Brentwood Academy. And it was truly one of the best games to start out week one. There were actually two kickoff returns in the first 26 seconds of the game for touchdowns. So 7-7, 14-34 remaining in the first quarter. So it was an exciting start. But CPA, Ingle Martin's got a really great team over there. And Pearl Cone's not a bad team either.
No.
They've just had a tough stretch to start out the season.
Yeah, you know, 2-point loss last week and then a 6-point loss last night. So, you know, your first two losses and it comes to a possession game. You know, that's, you know, it's a really tough break for Pearl Cone. And Ingle Martin doing a great job, as you mentioned. He had to replace a lot from last year, and it looks like he's succeeding so far.
Absolutely. This is a team that, you know, won the state championship last year, and, you know, it's not easy, especially at the high school ranks, of replacing that, you know, upper tier classes that you have with the seniors and, you know, players that might transfer or get injured. But he's done a great job of that, and CPA is a team that could very well potentially run it back.
Absolutely. The game that stood out to me was a game that Chase and Big Joe actually pointed out on their show yesterday. Antioch and Nolensville, Nolensville hosted Antioch in that week two game. And Big Joe pointed out that if you have a really good quarterback that runs your offense, you know, you have a chance to put up a lot of points. And that's what both these teams did last night. And Antioch was able to edge out the Nolensville Knights 36-33. You know, 2-0 start for Antioch. You know, looks like that they could have a really big season on the horizon as well.
Absolutely. I believe it was Big Joe who put out his top 17 teams last night on Fox 17 Football Frenzy Live, and he had Antioch in his top 10. So, I mean, this is a team that could also make some noise down the stretch, and they for sure have had a great start to their season so far.
Absolutely. Before we get into the rest of our scoreboard, we'll preview the guest. Coming up at 7:15 is Clint Finch from Brentwood High School. His Brentwood Bruins lost last night to Brentwood Academy 16-6 at 7:30. We'll have Chris Hughes from Fairview. His Yellow Jackets proved victorious last night over Waverly Central 41-12. And joining us at 7:45 is Christian Peterson of the MTCS Cougars. His Cougars fell last night to Masters Academy out of Florida 42-0. Now moving to our scoreboard, we'll start out with Region 3. And Parker, we were talking before the show, you know, what about maybe a little bit of, you know, just kind of spice things up, maybe a little bit of scoreboard music?
You know what, Jake? I'm glad you asked. Let's go ahead and hit that.
Thank you, Parker. Starting out in Region 3, Blackman gets in the win column for the first time this year, topping Stewart's Creek 42-35. Riverdale hosts Henry County and proves victorious 34-12. Rockvale has their senior night in week two and beats Smyrna 31-14. Oakland traveled to Anna, Texas last night. They were down, I think, 28-13 at halftime. Got into a shootout with Anna, the high school from Anna, Texas, and proves victorious 52-48. Oakland's become a team that can find teams outside of the state of Tennessee to play them over the past couple years. Cannon County tops PCA 19-13. Eagleville gets a big win as they hosted, or as they went on the road to Community and won 62-6. Fayetteville beats Moore County 35-28. Station Camp falls to Gallatin 42-28. Joe Burns beats Ballard Memorial out of Kentucky 38-12. Upperman goes to Lebanon and wins 41-14. Gordonsville tops Watertown 26-19. White County tops Warren County 41-0. In Region 5, Ravenwood beats Cane Ridge 48-0. Columbia beats Dixon County 22-2. Creekwood defends the home turf against Lewis County and moves to 2-0 as they beat Lewis County 17-6. White House Heritage falls at East Hickman 46-33. East Nashville beats Kenwood to move to 2-0 by a score of 50-14. Siegel gets a big win on the road to move to 2-0, 28-22. Liberty Creek falls at White House 34-15. McGavick gets a big win to move to 1-1, 34-14. Coffee County wins the Battle of the Coffee Pot to move to 2-0 by a score of 24-21.
And moving on to Region 6, Centennial with a big win versus Summit 42-7. Fairview, which you previewed, will interview Chris Hughes later on in the show. They get the best of Waverly Central 41-12. Gibson County defeats Republic 41-6. Hillsboro falls to John Overton High School 29-13. East Robertson. Yeah, that's right. East Robertson, a great team to be on the lookout for this year, defeats Houston County, the defending state champs, 50-12. Sycamore beats Lawson 35-14. Antioch getting the best of Nolensville 36-33. Page defeats Independence 31-0. Collierville escapes with a close one against Beach 12-10. Mount Juliet, another dominant victory, this time defeating Hunter's Lane 45-14. Clarksville goes on the road at Springfield and beats them 10-3. Green Hill, another victory. They get the best of West Creek 44-0 to move on to 2-0 on the season. Josh Crouch has got a good squad over there in Mount Juliet. Now moving on to Division 2. Preview this game a little bit later. Brentwood Academy goes on the road, they defeat Brentwood at home 16-6. DCA pitches a shutout against Friendship Christian School 15-0. The Jay Pierce era off to a great start over there in Donelson. The Wildcats now 2-0 on the young season. Innsworth, they defeat NBA 35-14. Continuing on with our Division II scores, Masters Academy out of Florida, they come to Middle Tennessee and take down the Cougars of Middle Tennessee Christian School 42-0. Clarksville Academy defeats Ezel Harding 30-12. Webb School, a team that is not getting a lot of buzz right now, but they very well might be, they defeat Columbia Academy 56-42. Putting up 56 in a game is...
The Webb feat.
Yeah, the Webb feat. Davidson Academy, they get revenge and defeat Lincoln County 34-27. Franklin Road Academy, they defeat Franklin in the Battle of the Franklins 27-7. Good Pasture falls to Silverdale Academy 40-21. Mount Juliet Christian pitches a shutout against Lookout Valley 62-0. And Nashville Christian also pitches a shutout against Innovation Academy 69-0. And the Bishop's Cup, perfect game to end on. Father Ryan gets the best of that one in the second year in a row, 27-21 over JP2.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my game to pick or game to watch last week, the Father Ryan JP2 game, Bishop's Cup. Father Ryan was actually down 20-7. I checked that at one point last night, and Father Ryan comes back to win that by a score of 27-21. And then a game that we didn't note, you know, that as another school that's off to a really great start, BGA, the Bobby Bentley era is off to 2-0. They won last week, big win over Knox Webb by a score of 68-41. They beat Maplewood last night by a score of 69-3. I think, you know, offense is going to become a common theme in the Bobby Bentley era. He's brought a lot of talent with him. He's got a nice group of freshmen also coming in as well. A name to watch out of one of those freshmen is Maximus Curry. Fast. They're going to get him. They're going to work him in a lot on offense, and you know, we could see Bobby Bentley's Wildcats in the playoffs before long. Coming up next, we'll talk to Clint Finch of the Brentwood High School Bruins. Last night, his Brentwood Bruins fell to Brentwood Academy by a score of 16-6. We'll break it all down with Coach Finch. Coming up next, you're listening to The Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Now we're joined by head coach Clint Finch of the Brentwood Bruins. Coach, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I absolutely can.
Coach, thanks for the time for joining us this morning.
Guys, we're always glad to get to talk about our football program, our football kid.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking at this rivalry with Brentwood Academy, you know, looked like it was a really tough going on both sides of the ball last night. With, you know, it looked like it was a very defensive battle.
100% it was. You know, they have obviously a lot of weapons out there on a Friday night. I was really, really proud of our kids. We did a good job of forcing them to kick field goals except for one time on defense and really kind of bounced back from a lot of big plays. We just, four times we got in the red zone and couldn't put touchdowns on the board. And it was, but they were good defense. We thought our kids played defense really well as well.
What did Brentwood Academy do well on defense? You know, kind of diving more into that defensive strategy that they had.
So, you know, they did a really – first of all, they've got some really good athletes over there on the defensive side of the ball. We knew we were going to have some issues running the ball against them. They just had some big kids that just, you know, kind of outweigh us. But really, they had a good scheme. They forced us to take a lot of underneath stuff all night. They never really let us get the ball deep on them. They also did a really good job of not letting us run the ball between the tackles. We were able to get on the edge a few times, but, you know, it was one of those days where I thought they had a really good plan, and just going to have to tip your hat to that defensive staff over there. They did a really good job against us last night.
We're talking to Clint Finch of Brentwood High School. Coach, kind of looking back at the box score, Brentwood Academy kind of – They were able to win the first half, but then looking at the second half, I thought that Brentwood kind of outplayed Brentwood Academy there in the second half. Kind of talk about what went right for your team in that concluding half.
Well, I think, number one, our kids, we're a fairly untested football team. We graduated a lot of kids last year. So a lot of this, we have a number of kids that are starting as juniors or maybe a first-year senior starters. We are really proud of the way those kids have just kind of come out and battled. So I think a big thing for us in that second half was that we didn't panic at halftime. Those guys just sat there and said, all right, we're going to keep working. We like I said, we found a few plays that we thought that we could work underneath them. We've got some really good athletes. We were able to sit there and get the ball in Clayton Merrill's hands. He had a, you know, numerous. I thought he caught 8 balls for 90-something yards last night. His little brother, Jones Merrill, had a really good night for us with some big catches. And Parker Emerson also had a big night, ripped off a couple of big runs. Unfortunately, we felt like we operated really well till we got to about the 10 or 15-yard line. And I think basically our kids were pretty fresh the second half. We didn't – our quarterback, Cannon Kinder – we also played J.C. White a little bit. Neither of those kids really tried to force any throws until late in the game. And, of course, Gavin Nelson stepped up. And even though I said I was worried about running between the tackles, he did a good job of ripping off some big runs, getting some first downs for us. I think it was just a bunch of kids going out there and playing their tails off trying to win a ball game against a really good football team.
And you mentioned the losing the 32 seniors last season. From a 30,000-foot view, you see that, and you're like, oh, how are they able to kind of backload this roster? But then Brentwood is a team that I believe has a lot of underlying talent. You may not always know the kids' names, but I believe you you will as the season progresses. What's been your message to the team after losing that amount of seniors? But, you know, what's your message to the team to be competitive and still compete to the best of their ability as the season goes on?
Well, and I don't want to get into too much coach speak here, but number one, you constantly have to be developing football players. And I take a lot of pride. I got a lot of really good really good football assistants that really take pride on developing their position group. So that's number one. Number two, our kids understand there's a tradition here, and we talk to them a lot about that, about what it means to wear that plain gold helmet, about what it means to be a Brentwood football player. They all want to maintain what we like to think of as a really proud tradition of going out, playing good people, hopefully getting to win a lot of ball games, always playing in a classy way and always giving great effort. It was a challenge this winter. I tell everybody, kind of our team motto this year was build, B-U-I-L-D, because that's what we had to do. We had a lot of pieces we had to figure out how to put together. But really proud of the coaching staff and really proud of the kids about the way they've handled replacing what was a really good group of seniors last year.
Coach, you talk about that tradition that you've guys built at Brentwood, and the rivalry with Brentwood Academy is a lot about that tradition. You know, you guys are only separated by one street. With this inner city rivalry, how do you, and you know, those kids on both teams knowing each other pretty well, how do you guys as a staff manage this rivalry when it comes to Brentwood Academy week?
Well, you know, our kids are pretty good about understanding, not getting too wrapped up in the hype. A lot of the times, whether it's us and BA or later in the year it's us and Ravenwood, if you look at a lot of the hype, that's kind of started by non-football players a lot of times. We just tell our kids, hey, guys, at the end of the day, they're going to put that ball down and kick it off at 7 o'clock. And you can get all wrapped up in the hype and the jawing back and forth sometimes. Or when that ball goes down to get kicked off at 7 o'clock, you can go out and then kind of show what you're about instead of, you know, talking what you're about. I know the kids enjoy all that. Fortunately, we feel like most of our kids understand that that's an ancillary part of Friday night, and we try to keep those kids focused on the ball game. We thought they did a really good job this week of doing that.
And, Coach, I don't want to focus too much on this game because, you know, just looking at the upcoming schedule, there are still plenty of good teams left down the road. So how long will you and the rest of the coaching staff, the players, kind of focus on what went wrong in this game and kind of looking forward to what's ahead?
Well, obviously, you know, the good thing about playing a BA early in the year is that's going to test you. I mean, you've got – George McIntyre's obviously can throw the football, right? Our DBs got really tested last night. I told you I thought their D-line was really good. Our offensive line got tested last night. So you have to sit there and you have to take this loss, and you can sit around and mope and feel bad about it, or we can all sit there and go, okay, what are we going to learn from this thing? Because we do have a lot of football left. We know we've said kind of from the get-go, we need to have a lot of stuff figured out by the time we go to Summit. That's when region play starts. We want to win all of them, but we understand if you want to get into the playoffs, you better win your region games. I told them last night it's okay for this to hurt a little bit, but we've got a really good Hendersonville team coming in next week. They beat Clarksville Northeast like 45-13 last night. We're going to learn our lessons from this, what went well, what went wrong, and we're going to approach that week getting ready for a good Hendersonville team. And you know, we feel like we can still win a number of football games this year. We just have to keep being better.
Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly talking with Coach Clint Finch of the Brentwood Bruins on the game blitz. And, Coach, you bring up that Hendersonville game. That's where I'd like to turn to next. You know, they're 2-0. You mentioned that they're a really good football team. What have you seen from them on film that they do really well?
Well, and you're talking about, you know, another team. I've always had a deep respect for Hendersonville. They're always a playoff team. You know, when you think about Hendersonville football, you kind of go back a number of years with teams that make deep playoff runs. First of all, you know, they lost the quarterback last year. I can't remember if he went to Navy or wherever. He was a difference maker, but we feel like they're they do what they do on offense, and I think obviously they take a lot of pride in what they do. Defensively, they're not afraid to sit there and say, hey, you're going to have to beat us in a one-on-one matchup. You know, we faced that last year with them. I think just a solid, well-coached football team, and I think it's cool that their history and our history kind of mirror each other, even though we're on opposite sides of Nashville. I think those kids at Hendersonville take a lot of pride being a Hendersonville Commando, just like our kids take a lot of pride in being a Brentwood Bruin.
And, Coach, we can talk X's and O's all day, but there is also a human element to this sport. It's what makes football one of the greatest sports on the face of the earth. And as I was kind of doing research for today's show, I saw that you got the opportunity to coach both of your sons in high school. Kind of explain to us and the rest of the audience that's listening what that was like, what that experience was for you.
You know, it was so I don't want to take too long, but I was at Brentwood from 2006 to 2012. I went to Ravenwood when Will Hester got hired at Ravenwood the first time for 2 years. And when Ron Crawford came back in 2015, he offered me the offensive coordinator job. Both my kids at the time went to Good Pasture Christian School in Nashville. And I was like, my wife and I talked. She had just got hired. And anyway, they came to school with me at Brentwood. It was awesome, I think. My poor kids always either went to school where their mom was the principal or they went to school where the daddy was the football coach. But I cherish those memories a lot. It was a lot of fun to be there and get to go through that experience with my two kids. I know sometimes people, you know, they can cause a little stress in families. And it probably did with us as well from time to time. But getting an opportunity to not just see your kid play, but kind of get to walk on that journey with him was pretty awesome. And I was always really proud of the way they handled their business on the football field. And it was just a lot of fun. I'll remember that forever.
Well, Coach, thanks for the time this morning. And good luck next week as you guys take on Hendersonville.
Guys, I always appreciate, you know, local media and trying to take care of us and giving a little time to the high school athletes. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, Coach. Thanks for the time. That was Coach Clint Finch of the Brentwood Bruins as his Bruins fell last night to Brentwood Academy 16-6. You can catch the Nashville Sounds in action tonight. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights on 94.9 The Fan in a two-game doubleheader. Game 1 first pitch is at 4:05 with Game 2 immediately after. Pregame on 94.9 The Fan begins at 3:50. Coming up next, we'll have Chris Hughes of the Fairview High School Yellow Jackets. His Fairview team proved victorious last night over Waverly Central. You're listening to Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Game Blitz, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Wallman joined by Parker Kelly on the board as we await Coach Chris Hughes joining us from the Fairview Yellow Jackets. His Jackets proved successful last night in a game with Waverly Central by a score of 41-12. Getting back to the scoreboard, looking through the scores while we wait on Coach Chris Hughes, Jackson County proved victorious over Sail Creek 26-6. DeKalb County topped Smith County 35-6. Clay County beat Westmoreland topped Clay County 17-14. South Pittsburgh beat Franklin County 28-0. Macon County over Trousdale County 42-0. Richland over Cascade 54-14. Out east, Cookeville beat Pure Academy 48-16. Cumberland County fell to Bledsoe County at home 28-0. Hardin County topped Giles County 17-14. Now joined by Chris Hughes of the Fairview High School Yellow Jackets. Coach, can you hear us?
I hear you great. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear, Coach. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, we'll get right into it. Last year, you guys fell in this game to Waverly Central, but last night you proved victorious 41-12. What did you guys do last night to get the offense going?
It was our defense that kind of set us up. We got a lot of short fields. I think Waverly outgained us in yardage, but we started on the plus side of the 50 probably six times. So it was just one of those games where we had really good field position the entire night. And it led to a lot of short scores, you know, 27, 42, 35, you know, those kind of scores. Didn't rack up the yards, but very efficient. The first half, we played really well. I feel like the second half, kind of, you know, both teams were just kind of getting through the game, I felt like it wasn't the same as the first half, but coming off of a game that we played against East Hickman, it was real physical. We lost three key starters. So this was a weekend of fill-in and really just work basic stuff. So my play sheet went from about, 7,000 words to about 300 words.
Yeah, and it really condenses that game. It makes that game plan a lot easier when you condense that play sheet. Our previous guest, Coach Clint Finch at Brentwood, we were talking about the tradition that they've built there, and it looks like you've built a really solid concrete foundation at Fairview as well. What have you found, and since you've been there at Fairview since 2009, what have you found best that's worked for you?
Just the kids out here. We have the best kids in Williamson County. I feel like, I tell people all the time, I'm playing with good kids, respectful kids, and sometimes it's hard to win with the beta club, but it's easy to coach the beta club. So we just have really good families, really good kids, and this community supports us. And all that support has led to us being able to be a playoff team for all 17 years that I've been here and making runs. We can't get past the third round. That's my Achilles heel. But we expect to get to a state championship level, and that's what we're striving for. And it's little baby steps every year. Our goal is always to win the state, and I always say I failed every year. But as long as we're fighting and doing the best we can, I'm real happy with what we're building here at Fairview. And I love where we're at. I always tell – and Clint's a great coach over at Brentwood, but I think we're the best secret in Williamson County.
We're talking to – Chris Hughes of Fairview High School. Coach, I just want to rewind back to week one and the opening loss against East Hickman County, and now fast forwarding back to this week, rebounding with a really impressive win over Waverly Central. And you got to be proud of your team's effort, especially losing the three starters that you mentioned earlier in the interview. But how proud of you are you of your team at getting a nice rebound win like this?
Well, I'm real happy that they were so resilient because we challenged them this week. We got bullied by East Hickman, a little bit of bullying. They ran it on us pretty good and stuffed us pretty good. And, it's a 6-point game, but East Hickman controlled that game. And I just told our guys, if we're going to win, we have to be more physical. And I feel like our kids rose up to that challenge. We were way more physical this week than we were last week. Practices were more physical. The game was more physical, and they rose up and rebounded. Waverly's beat us three straight years, and Coach Bolden does a great job down there. He's really young this year, so I wouldn't read a whole lot into that. Coach Bolden's going to get those guys going. They're just playing with a lot of young kids right now, and I don't think he has but one senior, which is really tough on a high school program. But the rebound was mainly a mental. Sometimes you just got to go back and say, look, this is about lining up and blocking and tackling. That's what football is all about, and I think our kids did that this week.
It really does boil down to winning your one-on-one matchup and taking those baby steps. You can't get too caught up in what's down the road, but just kind of going 1-0 every week. How do you get that message across to your team, and what does that look like? Just preaching that to your team, hey, just focusing on the next step and not getting too caught up in what may be down the road.
Well, our kids are pretty smart, like I told you, and we are too. Every game we play that's non-region is just a fine-tuning and getting us ready for our region games. And when we get into our region games, every one of them are a must-win because that one seed in the playoffs or that two seed is a lot easier path than that four seed or that three seed. And I think our kids realize, we want home playoff games. We want to play the easiest path to get as far as we can. And so every week I say, hey, look, like next week's our first region game. That's our biggest game of the year. And then the next region game will be our next biggest game of the year. So the kids realize that, setting yourself up for a good playoff run, you have to win these regular season games. So they mean a whole lot to our kids. And I don't have to do a lot of telling them that. Like I said, they see it. They see how the other teams are doing. They check scores just like, everybody else. And I think they've got the message. I just hope that we can keep building on what we did last night and get better and better. And I think last year we started 0-2. We ended up winning our region and finished really strong. And I think that's kind of it. We just got to get better and better every week. We're figuring things out as a coaching staff just like the kids are.
Coach, you talk about that region slate that's coming up, and You know, it's coming up quick with Stewart County coming up this week. You know, you guys proved victorious in that game last year, but, you know, last year, you know, that's comparing apples and oranges to a new team in 2024. What have you seen from Stewart County so far in 2024 about what they do well and what you guys have to do to exploit that?
Well, most people are going to try to mimic what East Hickman did and just kind of bully us a little bit, get in the run the ball at us and do some things like that. I think I always say this is one of my favorite things to tell our team. I said, if we line up and do what we're supposed to do, we're going to win this game. And Fairview's the only team that can beat Fairview, but we do that sometimes. So I'm hoping that we'll be focused in and you know, it get a little bit more expanded on the play sheet this week and take this momentum we have from beating Waverly and take it over into Stewart County, because this is the most important game. But Stewart County's coaches do a good job. I love those guys over there. It's not going to be like a bitter rivalry. There's some teams that we have those rivalries with. Stewart County's one of those games where we're going to go at it between the whistles, but we'll shake hands after the game and everything will be good. And Coach Schwartz and Coach Jackson over there do a great job.
Coach, you know, looking ahead to next week as well, you know, we got the long holiday weekend this week with Labor Day on Monday. Does that throw your routine off at all, or is it more of like, you know, you guys can just show up on Monday as if it were a regular school day and get right into practice?
Well, I will say that over the years that's changed a lot, because now parents seem to look for any time to get out of town with their kids. So I've got to worry about, you know, who's going to be there Monday. So what we do is we schedule late Monday so that they can enjoy this long weekend, just like the coaches and their families. And we'll be with our families and everything. And late afternoon and early evening on Monday, we'll get together, watch film, do our conditioning, do our install for this week. And the same things we would do on a normal Monday. It's just a little later time than normal.
And, Coach, you clearly have a very talented roster this year at Fairview. Who are some players that some of the media in Tennessee should be looking out for this season?
Well, we got a little receiver named Caden Lee and a big, tall receiver named Max Warnell, who are both really good with the ball in their hands. We've got – and this is the offensive side of the ball. Our line up front with Parker Davis and Sam Rood, and we're really big up front. And when we get that push, we can be very efficient. John Barrett's taking over at quarterback, and he had a good game last night, very efficient. And I think all those guys will stand. But on the defensive side of the ball, Will Frank and Kenyon Porter playing linebacker are really – they're making a lot of tackles. They're playing physical and coming downhill. And I just feel like on that side of the ball, they instill, you know, that toughness that we need. And I think you're going to see them every week in the stat sheet with a lot of tackles. And that's a tribute to the D-line and Coach Ruiz and what they do over there. So it's one of those things where this year I think we got a different guys that may shine every week. Usually I have one like Trayvon Murray. He's a returning running back with 1,500 yards. But we have some young guys that can run too now, you know, so he's doing a lot of big leadership things as a senior and bringing those guys along. But we have so many people we can play this year, it makes it hard to have those. So you're going to see every week there's somebody different kind of shining for the Yellow Jackets. And it just goes game to game and who makes the most of the opportunities they have. So I'm excited about our team. I like this team. I've told them that. I think with the ceiling is very high with this team. So we just need to keep building and keep getting better.
Well, Coach, good luck next week as you guys open the region play with Stewart County, and we will be following your progress throughout the rest of the year.
Well, it was great talking to you, and, you know, you're pretty good. You're not Joe Dubin. Joe Dubin. So, you know, if you can strive to achieve and be a Joe Dubin type interviewer, you could really go places. But I appreciate you having me on, and go Yellow Jackets.
Coach, thanks for the time. That was Coach Chris Hughes of the Waverly Fairview Yellow Jackets. Excuse me, his Yellow Jackets proved victorious last night over Waverly Central, 41-12. Coming up next is Christian Peterson of the MTCS Cougars. His team fell last night to Masters Academy out of Florida. We'll break it all down right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as you listen to the Game Blitz. Back on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Blitz here on this Saturday morning. Jake Wallman joined by Parker Kelly. And you can catch Vanderbilt right here on 102.5 The Game later today as they kick off their college football season against Virginia Tech. Pregame starts later this morning at 9:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As we work in our final segment of The Game Blitz, wrapping up week two, Parker, you know, we talked earlier in the show about scores that stood out to us. I mentioned Antioch and Nolensville in a shootout, 36-33. You mentioned, I think it was
Pearl Cone and CPA.
And CPA. Yeah. You know, let's touch on that game a little bit. You know, we were talking off the mic before the show. You know, I wonder, you know, how Coach Brunetti can, you know, approach next week, you know, with a big game against Creekwood, trying to get into the win column for the first time in 2024.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what a lot of these coaches have highlighted, having a short-term memory, because Pearl Cone, I mean, they are a very talented team. They've had a lot of success recently in the mid-state, and CPA, I mean, they're the defending state champs. And their division, but it's about having a short-term memory. And just because you drop your first two games of the season, there's still a lot of season left to go.
Yeah,
still
absolutely.
Eight games in the regular season.
And we've seen teams all across the state, not just here in the mid-state, but all across the state that can go on runs. And, you know, when the team gets hot, you know, in week three, week four of the year, who knows what happens?
Absolutely. And like I said, still eight games left in the regular season. You know, if you handle business like Pearl Cone is supposed to, and they live up to the talent that they have on the roster, they should still be able to make some noise in the playoffs. Remember, I don't want to be cliche here or even cheesy, but it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. And
yeah,
a lot of these programs, there's a lot of talent in Tennessee, really more as of recent than, you know, when you and I were playing back in the day. Not to make us sound old or anything.
10 years
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, and 5 years for me. So there's a lot of talent in the state. There's a lot of talented teams, but people may look at Pearl Cone and see that they're 0-2 and, you know, from way behind the scenes say, hey, like, what's going on with Pearl Cone? Are they going to be good this year? But people don't always see, you know, the inner workings of teams,
yeah,
and seeing
Monday through Thursday.
Exactly. They may come out next week and be a completely different team.
You know, let's talk on that point, you know, that the talent has kind of risen in the state over the last, you know, 5-6 years. Yeah, you know, and maybe it's just me, but when I was kind of, you know, in high school, I don't want to say Tennessee wasn't really known for their football, but it kind of feels like today compared to 5-6 years ago that the product in the mid-state and across the state as well has kind of uplifted itself to more of a higher standard where it's kind of up there with the Floridas and the Californias, and, you know, it gets noticed a lot more across the nation.
Yeah, and clearly there's a standard that's been set by those states in California, Texas, and Florida, and I'm not saying Tennessee is at that level. There's still a wide gap and there's still a ways to go. But a player that we've talked about has come up on the show in back-to-back weeks, George McIntyre, you know, the number one quarterback in the state. It, depending on where you look, which site you may reference, some have him as a five-star, others have him as a four-star. He's committed to Tennessee. Ethan Utley of Ensworth, you're playing on the defensive line. Ensworth got a big win over NBA last night, 35-12. It's guys like that really put this state on the map. And again, so it's just different from when you and I were playing. And it's honestly, if you're a fan or just covering the team like we do, or covering the state like we do, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're working on getting Coach Peterson on the line right now with MTCS. He will be our final guest of the day. MTCS fell last night 42-0 to Masters Academy out of the state of Florida. And, you know, we talk about Pearl Cone at 0-2. MTCS kind of in that same boat right now after winning a state championship. And, you know, that's kind of the thing I want to kind of touch on next as we get Coach Peterson on. That, you know, you coming off a year where you win a state title, you can't go, you can't look back, you can't go back. And, you know, you got to kind of, as a new member, you know, as a 2024 member of the team, you got to kind of create your own legacy and kind of etch out, you know, what you want your season to be. You can't really look back so much on last year and focus, you know, you got to kind of, when you look back on a previous year, you're kind of comparing apples to oranges, and you really got to look ahead and, you know, notice what you want. You got to really work out what you want your legacy to be as a part of that school. So, you know, getting Coach Peterson on right now, and, you know, Coach Peterson, can you hear us?
I can.
Coach, thanks for the time this morning joining us. You know, I'm sure it was a long night last night, but, you know, one thing that my high school coach always told me coming off a tough loss, you know, you just got to flush it and move on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we're a young team this year. Right? We really got to use these games as learning experiences and go through, watch film, and then try not to make the same mistake twice. I mean, for a lot of our kids, anything that happens on a Friday night is the first time they've ever seen that happen on a Friday night. And so, you know, really it's just about continuing to get better each week.
One thing that I am interested in finding out about is, you know, how a school – in Tennessee can schedule a school from Florida, and how all the logistics work, you know, kind of taking a step back and looking at this game from 30,000 feet and getting Masters Academy to come to Murfreesboro and stuff like that.
Yeah. So this one's actually probably easier than a lot of the cross state games. So I'm from Oviedo, Florida. And so prior to last year, even when Colby was still the head coach, we wanted to go back to Florida and play a game. And I knew the guy who was coaching at Masters at the time. And so me and him really just started texting and we're like, hey, let's make this happen. You know, what week is open for you? We'll figure out a week that's open for us. And we were able to get the home and home kind of scheduled. And then, you know, from then it was just figuring out how to get down there. You know, we had a lot of people help us on our side. I think both schools kind of did different things. We flew down there. And then again, Masters is in my hometown. So I knew we just stayed at a hotel near UCF and kind of hung out and went and did our walkthrough at my old high school. And then, they actually, their kids wanted to ride the bus up. So they drove the bus up. They left at like 6 a.m. on Thursday and drove up. So, yeah, I think ours is a little bit easier than how most of them go.
You know, you mentioned staying at a hotel and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, it kind of sounds like it's managed like a trip for a college football team. Is there anything that you guys had to do different? Well, I'm sure there's a lot that you guys had to do different with your routine and, you know, kind of, you know, going to practice at another high school and, you know, managing, you know, stuff like curfews and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, really, I just went back to when I played in college, kind of trying to remember what exactly we did. You know, what were some things that you know, were kind of, you didn't necessarily notice them at the time, but they were really just used to use some time while you're at the hotel. And then I also called some guys that I knew that had gone on trips before and had to stay at a hotel before, and just, you know, what were the pros, what were the cons, what are issues that they kind of ran into, and really just kind of built it out from there. Again, we were blessed. I mean, being in Oviedo, we were able to go to Oviedo High School and get our walkthrough in there. And so I had coached under the coach that was at Oviedo. So I just gave him a call. I was like, hey, man, what time is your field open? If it's open, and like, we'll just head over there and do our practice. And, so there was no issue. They were like, of course, man, you're always welcome. So we're able to just kind of go over there and knock it out. And so it really did make it a pretty smooth transition for us when we went down there.
We're talking to Christian Peterson of Middle Tennessee Christian School, the head coach of the Cougars. Coach, we live in a society of, you know, everybody has short attention spans nowadays, and they see that your team has, you know, started off 0-2, but what they don't see is the inner workings of what goes on within a program, what goes on throughout the week at practice, and the underlying talent that is on this roster. So how are you preaching to your team that, you know, that to have that short-term memory, and just because you start 0-2, there's still a lot of season left to go?
I mean, when we got back into the locker room last night, we had that conversation. I mean, we still have a lot of football left. We have a lot of football left, and I think we're a really talented team. I really do. You know, we're just young, and I think by the end of the year, as they continue to get more and more game reps, we're going to continue to get better. You know, it's definitely the microwave society. Everything's got to be ready right now. I kind of told the guys, I was like, for you guys that were around last year when we were going won a state championship, that I told you I didn't care what anyone in that building said. Don't let them tell you how good they are. Don't let them tell you how good you are. It doesn't matter. We just need to keep working. And I go, so, you know, you guys are around it right now. Don't let them tell you that you're bad. It doesn't matter. I didn't care. I didn't care when we were good what their opinion was. I don't care if their opinion was if they think we're bad. Just keep working, and we're going to be fine at the end of the year.
And, Coach, I played at Donaldson Christian Academy. My final year was in 2019, so I really have a heart for this specific district and region. And just, you know, mentioned guys that have come before and laid the foundation for this program and ended up, you know, winning the state championship last year. I think of guys like Jesse Perry, who's now at the University of Tennessee and kind of making some noise over in fall camp. How would you just kind of describe to us what those guys that have come before, how they have laid a concrete foundation to set up this team for this season?
Yeah, I mean, when we got up here, I mean, they didn't know us. You know, those kids had no reason to give us everything they had. They really didn't. I mean, we were coming from Florida. You know, we were just some coach coming up here, and we're telling them that we're going. Literally, my first day here, I told them we're going to win a state championship here. We're going to do it. We're talented enough to do it. We're going to do it. And you know, they had no reason to believe that vision. And you know, they gave everything they had. They worked every day, and really, I think everybody started to really see it last year and able to accomplish it. And so it's been good. You know, they're all back. You know, you see a lot of those guys on Friday nights. They're there. They've been back at practice. They've talked to the players after practice. You know, it's a really close-knit community there at MTCS, and you know, they were huge. A lot of the guys on our team now have seen it done the right way because they did it the right way. And so you know, we're still working to get to that standard again, but we'll get there. I have no doubts that we're going to get there. It's not as fast as everyone would like it to be, but you know, if you want it done right, you know, there's a process, and we just got to continue the process.
Well, Coach, looking ahead to next week, you guys got Grace Christian at home. You know, that was a game last year that, you know, MTCS came out victorious. But like I mentioned, you know, when you look back at last year, you're kind of comparing apples to oranges, as, you know, this year it's a new team. And so, you know, how do you guys preach that to your program? You know, you mentioned you got a lot of young guys, so how do you preach that to your guys that, you know, this year it's a new team, and, you know, you can't look back on last year?
Yeah, for us, it's just like right now the only thing we can focus on is Friday. Like, what happened last year, what's happened in last week, what's happening next week, none of that matters. Like, the only thing that matters right now is this Friday. And so, and the only way that we're going to perform on Friday is if we have a really good Monday through Thursday. And so, you know, we'll sit down tomorrow and as a coaching staff and really break down the film and, you know, see what we can do. How can we attack them? How can we stop them? And, you know, Grace is always a really good football team. You know, I think we're 1-2 against them since I've been here. You know, they've given us fits for a few years. You know, so we're going to have a good game plan. We're going to have to play hard. We're going to have to play physical. But I think if we do those things, we're going to give ourselves a chance in high school football. That's really all you can ask for.
Well, Coach, that's exactly right. That's all you can ask for. And, you know, good luck to you guys next week against Grace Christian, and we'll be following you guys the rest of the year.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. That was head coach Christian Peterson of the MTCS Wildcats, coming off a 42-0 loss last night to Masters Academy. And Parker, now as we begin to wrap up the show, we'll look ahead to next week. And what is your game of the week to watch?
My game of the week is Riverdale at Beach. Riverdale, you know, strong start, 2-0, number 9 in the state. Beach, falling in a close one last night, 12-10. They're 1-1, still have a lot of talent. Again, just because you drop a game earlier in the season does not mean you're not talented.
Right.
So I think that, you know, Joe Dubin has also been, you know, Big Joe has been very high on Beach. So I'm really excited to see this game next Friday and see who comes out on top.
I'm going to go a little bit different route, and I'm going to go with Creekwood and Pearl Cone. Noted on that one a little bit earlier. And I'm curious to see Pearl Cone's response. Two losses, you know, that combined to a one-possession game. You know, tough luck for Pearl Cone in the first 2 weeks, but, you know, I think that, you know, Ellie Brunetti's going to get his guys in the right mindset coming off a short week. And I think, you know, Pearl Cone's still a team to watch in 2024.
Absolutely. Still a lot of talent over there at Pearl Cone.
Absolutely. Well, that will do it for week two of the Game Blitz. For Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Wallman. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next Saturday morning right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.